told it you can eat my cookies? No! Put that cookie down! Now!
Well, this is where we are.
I'm the captain now.
Oh my gosh! We'll take a look at it.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Long national nightmare is over. I should say a long local nightmare. By long, I mean 6 days. Yes, the nameless zebra is now back in the custody of mankind in our opposable thumbs. So you can sleep well, Washington, Western Washington. There was no chance of it, I guess, crossing into Eastern Washington, where it would be welcomed with open arms, I think.
Our long regional nightmare is over.
Yeah. And then they go and paint dogs as pandas. But don't worry, that's not here. Of course, is any animal in a Chinese zoo real? But I know you're in there. By the way, AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. But can you see that?
That looks like
from a distance
a baby panda. But I'm
well,
sure
you're wrong. It's a chow chow. Apparently, there's a dog, the chow chow. And normally they're white, but not if you paint their ears, their eyes, and their butts. And then you got a panda dog. So we'll get to that. And a big day for Boeing, but only if the Starliner makes it to space. And will it be covered locally at 4:30 our time? The Starliner, after lengthy delays, but the government didn't care. They just care that you take their money.
Houston, we have a problem.
But big deal for the Boeing, and this is how the Washington Post starts their article. Before a door-sized panel blew out of a Boeing 737 MAX, leaving a gaping hole in the side of an Alaska Airlines aircraft shortly after takeoff, before whistleblowers came forward to say they were threatened for bringing up safety issues, before the Justice Department opened a criminal investigation, Boeing was struggling with another set of issues on another high-profile vehicle. The Starliner spacecraft, designed to fly astronauts to orbit under a $4.2 billion contract from NASA, had suffered a serious surprise. Anyway, that's the beginning of a news article today that a Boeing Starliner is scheduled to fly some living human beings to the International Space Station, which are the facts of the story, at 7:30 Eastern. So 4:30 here. Will it be covered locally? I think out of human interest, it will be covered nationally, Eli. I mean, the Musk flights are covered live.
I don't know, though. America had already lost interest in spaceflight by the time Apollo 13 came around.
Yeah, but
it was just a regular day of the week.
Now the African-American is making money doing it. I think this one will have enough baggage hanging on it.
Oh, are you talking about Musk, African-American? Okay, I got it. I'm a little slow.
But now they only show his launches out of a distant hope that he'll fail because the media is against him now because he owns Twitter.
You think a morbid curiosity fuels some of that?
Yeah. And I think with this, I mean, with Starliner, with the Boeing Starliner.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't recall. It's going to drift peacefully. I mean, the spacecraft, when it comes back, after it delivers us to humans, it will come back somewhere in the West. I don't know where. Landing in the western U.S. under parachutes. Well, okay. Well, there you go. So heads up west of the Mississippi, I guess. So I've never seen it test flown. Even the Bezos insecure male rocket ship has gone up a couple times. But
rocket?
Yeah. And that and the Musk one were never meant to go into orbit. So that's the deal.
Those are two very interesting people.
Would you estimate him to be a product of selected breeding?
There is that possibility, Captain.
You mean Kanulian Singh. And so anyway, we'll get to that. But I didn't know. Here's what I didn't know about the zebra. Was the zebra a physical threat to anybody? Did anyone feel threatened? But first, some folksy exchange of friendly anecdotes. How was your weekend?
It was great. My band played a show up at Crystal Mountain.
Yeah, so how'd that go?
Good. We opened with Hard Day's Night by the Beatles, closed with Johnny B. Goode by Chuck Berry. But it was a slow day up on the mountain because it was the last ski day of the season. It was kind of rainy, sleety, snowy.
Oh,
it was cold.
Was it up there?
Yeah, I couldn't feel my fingers three songs into it. And I thought, how am I going to guitar solo when I can't feel me fingies? But I eventually warmed up. I think it was the adrenaline.
But it didn't go to. Was it even grapple or was it actual rain?
I mean, we saw snow that was sparse where we were playing, but we played right at the base of the gondola there. So it was kind of people walking through. So it wasn't like an attentive audience. It was more like skiers giving us the thumbs up as they'd walk by and take the gondola. So it was a lot of fun. I like the skier crowd.
You know what Hard Day's Night reminds me of?
The Beatles.
The Sikh separatist who was assassinated in Vancouver.
I was going to say the same thing.
Hardeep Singh Nijjar, the arrest of some Indian nationals was announced on Friday. It made news everywhere around the world, not much here in the U.S., but the Indian intelligence service, clearly when the guy was killed, he was a very prominent separatist, and you don't do that. And he was affecting politics back in India, so they whacked him, and they possibly used some Americans, but under arrest are some Indian Sikhs and Indian nationals.
They made this sound when they whacked him.
There you go. Richard Dodges, who made the movie?
That's a great film.
Terrific movie, yeah. And it really sort of set the bar for if you're gonna like put your stars in a fictional,
yeah,
situational movie.
Version,
you know, have it
themselves.
Make it a good movie.
Richard Lester,
that's right. And then the next one,
Help.
Help. Oh, what a disaster!
It's in color though.
Should rename it Disaster or Juggle Lava, but so anyway. So here is our story, our breathless story. I didn't know it was this bad, but I mean, more write more news like this, and I will watch.
Following breaking news, a zebra that went missing in the North Bend area has been found.
Our crews just arrived at a private home near where the zebra was captured. Fox 13's Dave Detling is live. Dave, this is a huge relief for everyone that's been looking.
But is it?
Yeah!
Really? Did anyone lose sleep over a missing zebra?
The zebra was captured. Fox 13's Dave Detling is live. Dave, this is a huge relief for everyone that's been looking for...
Oh, I can finally take the gun out from under my pillow. They weren't making it out to be a fake zebra, you know, or something like that. Like, not like they did in Singapore or in China where they're painting chow chows as pandas, but... I had a good week. You know, remember on Friday I predicted a good weekend? It was a good
weekend.
You
guaranteed it. You didn't predict it.
Yeah, and it was, and it came to be. And I do have a opera update.
Oh, I do want to hear about
that.
Yeah,
when you roused a 15-year-old on Sunday morning to start getting ready for the first opera in their life, the response was underwhelming.
No, really? Yeah. You don't say.
I know. For most 15-year-olds, it's like, my first opera, is it Rossini? Yeah. Oh, great. I'm there. And so, no, it didn't happen. The iconic aria from Carmen by Georges Bizet.
Well played.
You're welcome. Well, you know what? That is a mom that played opera constantly and would name the song. So, I mean, by... And this is why, if you ever want to see a great opera, Carmen's a great sophomore, but your first opera should be Barbara Seville. I mean, it will entertain you, and you'll get it. And I mean, just keep in mind, it was IMAX of its day, and it is. That's, you know, one little anecdote about that. But it's on its own, Barbara Seville. You know every song. If you saw any Bugs Bunny cartoons, and you remember the one where the opera singer is holding the note and the whole thing. So anyway, speaking of opera, this was the audition for Vice President Weekend from Chrissy Noem, either not listening to her media people or her having crappy media people. Because she seems surprised that anyway. Well, and then even my guy Burgum. Was out there.
DB.
Bergen, who bribed me to give him, he gave me a gift card to give him money. And he's.
I remember.
And Trump likes him because he's a self-made gazillionaire.
Show me the money.
And the whole thing. And so he stepped right on, If by it, you mean John Johnson. And so I mean, and this, and really what it is, and then Tim Scott, who I think won the sweepstakes. So are we going to, is that what we're going to have at 7:30?
Tim Scott? Yeah, we got him online.
No, I mean our Fox guy.
Yeah, sure.
So we're gonna talk about the VP stakes.
Sweepstake, yeah.
And that will be at your 7:30. But here's just a little bit. Here's a little sample. And I mean,
little taste.
Okay, so you got an issue. A book is coming out tomorrow. In the book, you detail that you had a dog that couldn't be, that was, you claim it was untrainable. And I maintain, I'm sorry, but that's on you. It's on the dog. And that at one point it jumped out of the car and it ate a neighbor's chickens. Well, you know, now you owe someone some money and that's predation. And that's livestock, no thing. And so, but it was untrainable, your words. And so you shoot the dog. And telling the story, knowing full well that you want to be vice president, and that this one thing it haunted Mitt Romney to this day, and which I don't understand why you would have leave a dog in the crate and put it on the roof of the car, but he
very
did.
Very Chevy Chase Vacation.
It didn't kill. What was that? The aunt's name in Vacation? What's her name? But anyway, it didn't kill the dog. Dogs are built to be outside at 80 miles an hour. I don't know. I sense that Mitt Romney drives just below the speed limit on his best day or his most adventurous day. But anyway, to get a dunk on Biden, that's I think Kristi Noem is cooked her goose, but she's still in the running and she's trying here.
You talk multiple times about it. In fact, at the end of the book,
this is the loathsome Margaret Brennan who just will not. If you let her interrupt you, she will continue interrupting you. So just don't do that.
So the very first thing you would do if you got to the White House that was different from Joe Biden is you'd make sure Joe Biden's dog was nowhere on the grounds. Commander, say hello to Cricket.
See, get it? Cricket was the dog she shot. So you know, she can't leave it at that. This is why Margaret Brennan's going to spike the football on you on this one.
Are you doing this to try to look tough? Do you still think that you have a shot at being a VP?
Well, number one, Joe Biden's dog has attacked 24 Secret Service people. So how many people is enough people to be attacked and dangerously hurt before you make a decision on a dog and what to do with it?
Well, he's not living at the White House anymore.
That's a question that the president should be held accountable to.
You're saying he should be shot?
That's what the president should be accountable to, is what is the number?
That's a weird head fake. And, I mean, if she'd auditioned that with me, I would have said, well, you know, they did get rid of the dog. He didn't live there anymore. So think of something maybe more clever, but anyway, we'll get into that and the Tim Scott one and the whole thing. The big news overnight, it's Rafa Day. For all the people that are saying hands off Rafa and all that, well, it's going to be hands on Rafa today because the Hamas guys, in case there was any debate in the IDF staff about whether or not they should go into Rafa, that's over now because they fired rockets from the city of Rafah, the last place that the Hamas guys are, and they killed two Israeli soldiers yesterday. So that's done. That debate's over. They're in the last block of Berlin. Here's the thing. The IDF knows this. They're going into Rafah, and no one's going to vote Trump and not vote Biden because IDF wins a war, okay? So there's that. I don't know why the Pentagon just doesn't, or why Biden has someone around him who's not just simply saying, listen, the Red Army is a block away from the Fuhrer bunker, and you're calling Stalin saying call off the dogs on this one? You know, really, they're going to take care of a problem that would be our problem anyway. And so, but they are. And so the Israelis, who are, by the way, doing the opposite of genocide, they're calling ahead on this again. They're calling ahead, specifically giving addresses of buildings that you might want to pack some stuff because those buildings are above tunnels. Those buildings are targets. And the Israelis do a couple things. They do a thing called a door knock where they'll hit the roof of a building with like a Hellfire missile. And that means you might want to pack some stuff and use the stairs, not the elevator, because in about half an hour, and we first saw this in late October. A Boeing-built JDAM, and a JDAM is a GPS steerable bomb after the fact kit. It comes as a nose section and a tail section, mainly the tail section, and you slap it onto any old Vietnam era 1,000-pound bomb. There are many. You slap a new tail on it and a new nose, and it can hit a postage stamp. I mean, they're astounding. And if you call ahead, I mean, what the Israelis are doing is borrowing pretty liberally from the Fallujah manual, and it's evacuate the locals, biometric eye scan on the way out, get them safe, get them food, get them water, and then take out your targets. And so the Israelis have had months to do their targeting on this one. They know exactly what they're going to hit. Now, the next thing that's going to happen, I mean, and this is where I'd say prepare yourself for this. There's going to be protests on American campuses, the whole thing, and you're going to find out that the overwhelming majority of the hostages are dead now anyway. We know this, the Israelis know this, and that's part of why they're going in, because they know that Hamas would be hanging them from balconies on live TV, and live TV would carry that. Anyway, but I say this, Greg, why not play the damn morning montage already? I got to say, it could be a very good one. Many say today's is very good.
I don't know. Monday morning, can't trust that day.
Well, but so much good audio over the weekend. And here's just a sample. We'll unpack all of this as in the fullness of the day.
Dave, this is a huge relief for everyone that's been looking for that zebra.
The largest Lahar evacuation drill in the world.
Kwok Deng, the owner of the business, says this letter was posted on their door by Seattle Public Utilities.
Are you doing this to try to look tough?
I just think that it's important that you're judged by the company you keep. And
I mean, you can't be shouting guillotine, guillotine.
We respect your passion and your opinions.
I don't believe living in a pup tent for Hamas is really helpful.
Okay, so my tax dollars are supporting this Jew hating.
So I'm not going to make it an issue.
Well, Senator, will you commit to accepting the election results of 2024, bottom line?
To what exactly Canada is alleging?
See, pretty good. Nothing about painted pandas, though. I'll say that, but that's my fault. I can't find a video story. Only Chinese zoo starts panda dog enclosure with dyed chow chows. So we'll get to that.
And nothing from the Tom Brady roast. Did you watch any of that?
Because I didn't. Was it?
Oh, my gosh. My social media feed was,
and where was
just
it on?
Overwhelmed with clips from it. I think it was on Netflix, actually. But it looks like it took place in a huge arena. For my taste, Brian, I have to tell you, the clips I saw, they were just almost too nasty. I don't want to be like a fuddy-duddy or someone who's a snowflake, but it was really gross, some of the jokes.
The fine line on a roast is just because you can doesn't mean you should. And also read the room. If everybody's doing it, you're just another guy.
Well, and there's a constant one-upsmanship. Who can gross out people the most? And then that gets the biggest laugh because, I can't believe he went there. That's so terrible to joke about that. And I just don't find that amusing.
And that's why, you know, just stop trying. After Gilbert Gottfried's The Aristocrats joke in whatever roast that was in, it's been done to perfection. There you go. So just watch that, and if you can top that, go ahead and do that, but you can't. So don't.
I'm sure there were a few diamonds in the rough as far as jokes are concerned, but overall it wasn't that
great.
You know
what? Remember the comedian Buddy Hackett? He was in the Love Bug movies.
Love Bug.
And not quite the same thing, but he was a beloved comedian when he had to be clean, like on Tic Tac, Celebrity, Hollywood Squares, whatever, and still a really funny guy, or like on Merv Griffin. I saw him in Reno open up for Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah?
It was the bluest comedy I'd ever heard in my life. You can take Eddie Murphy and shove him into Red Fox, and it would not be nearly as blue as Buddy Hackett was. And I was blown away, because there are a lot of people, because you never heard the guy ever like that. because on TV in the 70s and the 60s, you couldn't. There wasn't a channel where you could even do that. But no, I was blown away. But I realized 5 minutes into it, you're numb to it.
Right.
And so anyway,
desensitized.
Important life updates coming up, and it's mandatory testing fun. So get your kids up, and get them, make sure they rest, because this is it. You know, the statewide thing. I don't know. Is Puget Sound Energy going to go all Gavin Newsom on us and shut down power, public safety power shutoffs? We don't know. And the Face the Nation versus Kristi Noem. Who will be your vice president? We'll get to all of it. And how much panic? It's funny now that when they captured the zebra, now it's a huge sigh of relief. What, you're going to hit it? I guess I don't know. But anyway, back in second AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. We'll do a checking of your textings here in just a second. But you know what I listened to all weekend long, producer Greg's supposed musician?
The White Album by the Beatles.
No, Marty Robbins, Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs. You've probably never heard of him because I'm curating.
Guitar work.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs by Marty Robbins with him on the album cover. I mean, it's crazy how many great songs, and he didn't write them all, he's covering a bunch, but I mean, Lost to Time, and I rediscovered an album that I rediscovered years ago, and so it's a great album. I highly recommend if you're just...
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
Racist. So
it almost sounds like Tex-Mex. There's a little mariachi vibe there.
Yeah, and especially this song, the eponymous El Paso.
Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl.
Great song. But anyway... followed by great song, then great song, great song, great song. So I just kept driving until I went back around, until I had looped the thing. And let's see, I advanced some plans.
Plans were advanced.
About a history walk that I want to do this August.
Is that the massacre walk you want to do?
Yeah, in Centralia. And so I talked to people.
Bring the kids along.
About stuff. And then I advanced another relationship to the point where we were making fun of each other's favorite baseball teams, which is a very important, I think, step that you have to get to and get past. The Mariners apparently swept somebody. They had another sweep.
I think they may have given up one game to the Astros, but they won another series. That's for sure. Their pitching is impeccable right now. The best pitching staff in the major leagues. They tied some record.
Yeah.
21 or 22 straight games of starting pitchers giving up two runs or less, which is incredible. I mean, that's, I don't know if that was ever going to be broken, but the Mariners are on the cusp of doing that, I think. Unless I misread that.
So yeah, because my favorite team, my favorite icons and recreation jerseys, the team doesn't exist anymore. And so I'm always wearing that stuff and the message was Mariners now have won six consecutive series, and I said, "Is that sports ball?" And a person said, "Correct response. I was begging a response, which was, "Are you even American?" And she didn't go for the bait. But she did one better. I'm sorry I don't have any San Francisco Seals updates for you today. They have an existence 1959. And so anyway, I think I'm on good footing. On that one.
My dad's rule is he will not watch the Mariners unless they are over 500. Well, right now they are four games over 500, which is, it seems like it should be more than that if they've won six straight series, but they're only a half game up in the
ALS. I'll watch the Mariners if the Giants or Seals are not on. And I'll turn it down and turn up Marty Robinson because we're in Port Angeles. We could get AM radio. The Mariners didn't exist. And when I was a kiddie kid, we could get KSFO in San Francisco. And so by default, if I'm listening to, you know, baseball on the radio, it's going to be the Seals or, you know, God forbid, the Doyers or the Padres. But you could get Kogo in San Diego, get the Padres and get the Los Angeles radio affiliate for the Doyers or you know, whatever. But, I mean, that's how it was. Same with football. I mean, I watched the BC Lions, and those are Canadians. You know, they roll in cheese, and then they go throw a football around. And I was watching the new XFL, whatever the hell it is. They were playing on Sunday, and it's
you love knowing obscure things that only you know.
That's true. We're we're coming up on the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and I'll give you all obscure little facts as we go.
Okay, so that is apropos because I tried to introduce my 10-year-old son to World War II for his first time in depth over the weekend.
The old whiskey deuce.
Do you think that's too young?
No,
in terms of like graphic footage from World War II. So we started watching World War II from the front lines on Netflix, and I'm thinking, okay, this is a good introduction. I think he can handle a little violence, and it's historical. The problem is they've updated that footage to where it looks like 4K, so it feels like it's really happening. It's not black and white, grainy, where you can't really make out, oh, that's someone's arm that was blown off. So in the intro credits to that series, there's literally like a German Nazi like holding up a leg, and I look over and I'm like,
hello sir,
is this too soon?
I have found me a leg.
My 10-year-old,
my introduction was all my neighbor, my friends, their dads were all Nisei. They were all in the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, which was comprised of the Hawaii, precursor was the 100th Infantry Battalion of the Hawaii National Guard, because FDR had called up the National Guard 1 year before Pearl Harbor. So in Hawaii, the Hawaiian Territorial Guard was made up of Hawaiian citizens, but overwhelmingly Japanese. And so here you had, on December 7th, here you had a battalion of armed Japanese already on Waikiki Beach. But it wasn't an invasion. It was U.S. Army soldiers. So the Army had to, like, what do we do with these guys? And they brought them to Fort Benning. And so one day, you know, my friend's dads were talking, and one of them turned to me. It was Kaikili Kealoa's dad had turned to me and said, "Your dad served, didn't he?" I went, "Yeah." I said, "My dad was a Navy corpsman on Okinawa," and they rolled their eyes got big because that's a legendary, very bloody American battle, and they said, "Wow, you know, someday we got to talk to him about that," And I was like nine, and I went and talked to my dad, and I said, "So what was that like? What was Okinawa like? We're just, you know, the KLO, Mr. KLO was just talking." And my dad said, "Well, I'll tell you this about World War II. It was in color." And I thought that was funny. It was a funny riposte back to me, because as it turns out, the world was color before approximately 1961, and a little too much color in that case. And So I would say that it's hard. I don't think it's taught well. I mean, because you have to begin that all just wars and unjust wars all look alike. Once you go to the pew, it's not like people grab their chest and spin and call out their mother's name. It's like that in every war. Okay, there's in human history. There is not war, and there is war. There's no such thing as a good, clean war. And, you know, I'm in a weird way, in this generation, I'm kind of a little, when I look back, I would say that people's impression of the Gulf War was that it was crosshairs on a building and all that. And I think we deluded ourselves and are allowing ourselves to be hypnotized by something that didn't happen and that whole thing. And so that's why in this day and age where you're carrying a high-definition camera in your hand, some guy in Gaza is live streaming in HD the recovery. You know, this was the thing. Hamas incentivized, they monetized the recovery of children's bodies. And the effect you're seeing right up the street. Because the impression is that somehow Israel has developed a baby-seeking bullet or something. And it's frustrating. But I mean, Hamas, that's why, as I've been noting on this show, that I was seeing extended video of guys digging through rubble, not because they thought there was a survivor, but because they wanted to be, they knew there were kids in that building because Hamas was purposely relocating families above them in buildings. So, and so as people were digging through the rubble, it was not to find a survivor. It was to find the body of an infant. And they were shaking it triumphantly. It was bizarre. And I have the video. I mean, if your niece or nephew or son or daughter is saying, Dad, it's called genocide or whatever, then y'all, you see if they can take this video. But I mean, that what the guy's excited about is that he found an infant's body and it will be on TV and it will make Israel look bad because that's what they do. And by the way, the SJP, the Students for Justice in Palestine, I mean, that's tailor-made. Now they're finding out that the Soros Foundation's handing out some of the money. And many, many high-end donors to the Biden campaign are paying for some of these whack jobs. Like, speaking of whack job, and this is why schools are putting out their commencement, because you had a guy at Northeastern University, also the Huskies, with a white T-shirt with supposedly fake blood handprints on it, and it said, somehow it said Northeastern University NEU kills. That's all it said, NEU kills. And the guy starts chanting and the whole thing, and the speaker, instead of saying, security, remove that asshat, goes with this.
We respect your passion and your opinions. We respect your right to voice them in the appropriate setting.
That ought to discourage.
We respect your
copycats. Right. So anyway, that's what universities are terrified of. And on the board of Columbia University's former Homeland Security Secretary Jet Johnson, who said that he's a trustee, and he said, yeah, that's why we're not having a commencement. You got a campus full of, you know, wacky Jew haters.
I would have just said, you're good enough, you're smart enough,
hey, by
and
golly,
it, people like you.
Yeah, and it was funny because now they're going to get debt forgiveness to, you know, please, not the face. Don't hit Mr. Biden in the face. And I'll play that in just a second. Bill Maher talking about that on his show. But it's not gone away. It's morphed a little bit. And now the sun is up in Rafah, and Israel has given their warnings. And the one thing they've shown is being consistent about this. There's no point in doing it without following up. When they warn you to get out of that cast concrete four-story future sandwich, you'd best listen. And so they are in the final phase of their war with Hamas. Nobody in Israel wants to see Hamas emerge as the same government in Gaza. And there's many indications that even the Gazans sure don't want that. But anyway, Israel, against American wishes, supposedly, are going to go into for the final phase against the southern Gaza city of Rafah after the same 770 KTTH.
We respect your passion and your opinions.
of excited for Steely Dan, AM 770 KTTH, but I'll take Dirk Clinton.
That was me during the break going, how does this button work?
I wonder how Steely Dan sounds today. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and a really horrific story. Coming out of your Baja, Mexico, the first time that phrase has been spoken. Surfers killed in likely carjacking, says Mexico. And two Australians and an American. And it was going to be an idyllic road trip. And a brand new, shiny Ford F-150, I guess, with awesome tires and rims. These three chaps were surfer bros from the online. The Australians come out for this idyllic, you know, road trip into Mexico. The, you know, and the world famous surf of Baja and the experience and the driving down the beach and having fish tacos and the whole thing. And I mean, that's what, there's a great chain called Wahoo's Fish Tacos. And the guy that started it is Taiwanese. And his inspiration was literally doing just that, being some hippie in the early 70s and surfing in Mexico and going from, you know, roach coach to roach coach, having these fish tacos. So anyway, somebody decided they liked their truck more than the owners. And so when according to a Mexican prosecutor, these guys caught the thieves stealing their truck. Three tourists found dead in Mexico were shot in the head, their bodies dumped in a well. Officials believe the men were attacked trying to stop the theft of their pickup truck. So a 30 and 33-year-old brother from Australia, and they have a real, Australian, like, you know, surfing bro look. And then an American, Jack Carter Road, disappeared a week ago, 27 April, in Ensenada. And prosecutors, for some reason in Mexico, they got a lead. The lead sang like a canary and said, you know, the well where we dump people that we kill? Yeah, they're in there. Okay, so so they fished out the three newest bodies, the two Australians and the American, and revealing a fourth body that had been there a while. So anyway, just a horrific story for the families and for people not even related to them. But anyway, rule of thumb, the deeper you go, the further away from authority you go in Mexico. That's sort of a heads up on that one. It's the Fat Leonard story has been going around, and there's a new book about it. And Fat Leonard was the crap Leonard James. He ran a company that did logistics in Singapore. And to get contracts and all that, he would employ money. And American U.S. Navy officers, including an admiral, were not immune to his charms because he would bring hookers with cash. And Rear Admiral Robert Gilboa, known as Crazy Bob, had to be evacuated from Afghanistan because he went bonkers. When the investigation started, he knew that he was as dirty as a country road. And so he went crazy as squirrel turds. He went nutty as squirrel turds on this. And it's just a really interesting story about the Fat Leonard sideshow, the Fat Leonard thing. And this is like, if you're a fan of NCIS, I think they did a, ripped from today's headlines, they did a thing on it. But
is Fat Leonard actually obese, or is that just a fun nickname?
Oh, I have to get you that part, because he was describing... When he was trying to mail chicken block the NCIS by filling out a, where is it? so he asked for a foreign contact questionnaire, as if that would sidetrack NCIS. And service members were supposed to fill out a counterintelligence form if they had an unofficial prolonged encounter with a foreigner. This is a counter-China thing that's done in Singapore and Seoul, Korea, and all this, because you get Chinese agents that will just say, oh, I am a big admirer of your Navy, or whatever. And so you have to fill that thing out. And so they need to know, you know, where are they being questioned, the whole thing. So he fills one out about Fat Leonard. and Leonard Francis. He took the initiative to disclose his dinner with Leonard Francis. Under physical description, he typed, very large Malaysian man.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
So the ham bones get stuck right here in this region. He reported that they had been friends for years, and this time Francis said something NCIS might want to know, that he had an informant on the Navy's logistics staff who leaked him confidential information. And the big stink was that Fat Leonard was getting a heads up on when U.S. Navy ships were going to be in Singapore, and that's fairly classified. The arrival and departure of a U.S. Navy ship, kind of a big deal. And he was being given a heads up because that would mean a replenishment of food and other stuff and hookers and the whole thing. And so he was getting classified. He was paying for and receiving classified information. So it was a big, big deal. And so that means that the guy's compromised, and obviously the Chinese would know that. Because the Chinese have been freaked out ever since a couple of years ago on July 4th. The U.S. Navy did a surprise series of port visits by ballistic missile submarines. And it was a really high profile shot across China's intelligence bow. And it was like Busan, South Korea, Singapore, and Manila, something like that. It was on you know, in those three major capitals, American ballistic missile submarines just suddenly appeared, and the Chinese didn't know it. And or did they? And so anyway, so that more from that story a little later on after our checking of the texting.
Get in my belly.
I don't get what are they talking about? Supposedly there's did we put a new picture on the app, which you can get? You can text app APP to 800-465-8770 and tell me.
Supposedly with a hard B. They did. I'm looking at it right now. You look rather dapper.
Is it the one with my mustache?
No, you've got a beard, but it's, you know, it's short. It's not out of control. And you're wearing a blue suit and you have a bit of a smirk, which is on brand.
As I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I know something you don't. That's
I
what you're
think
saying.
I know who's behind that replacement from the evil mustache twirling picture.
It's a refresh of your official KTTH image.
Nice new photo on the app. It says 562 area code. Teetering on the brink, says Christy Noem. Why are people so weird? We'll get to that. The Mariners didn't sweep the Astros because Friday they literally gave the 5-3 game away with a 4-run Astros seventh inning featuring 2 hits and 5 walks. Well, the Astros tell each other what pitch is coming, so they're sad. They will. That's the thing. You will never live that day. You do that, and it'll be a generation before anyone doesn't get that job.
Hide the trash cans.
Yeah. So anyway, Brian and producer Greg, I just had, I just am amazed at how many idiots here drank the Kool-Aid. Thank you for giving us all the real world info. It means a lot, Brian. Respect. It says 206, so thank you. What's this? Cisco Ramon. New promo picture, looking good. Thank you, Cisco. Thanks for taking my calls, Cisco. All right, when we come back, it'll be hour number two, and our political watcher is going to join us early at 7:10.
Yeah, we'll be talking with Anthony Russo, political analyst and host of the Truth Will Set You Free podcast about Trump's potential VP running mate.
And I'll pay this off. Bill Maher on his show talking about student fund forgiveness for people to hate Jews at USC and Columbia.
Stuff is, I'm so incensed about some of this stuff because, you know, when I read about the college loans,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's, I can't, where's the stat on this? Oh, Biden administration's student debt cancellation will cost a combined $870 billion to $1.4 trillion. That's a lot of debt forgiveness. Okay, so colleges constantly raise tuition. Then the kids take out more loans. Then the government comes by and pays those loans.
So more on that when we come back. And we'll hear from Tim Scott, Christy Noem, and Doug Burgum. Which one of them is going to be the vice president survivor? And other stuff. But you got to come back. We'll be back right after this. The latest out of Israel. Is it on like Donkey Kong, or is it on like the sort of Democles? We'll answer that question right after this. And why are they painting dogs to look like pandas? Well, why aren't you painting a dog to look like a panda? Is when you hear the payoff. That and more right after this. AM 770 KTTH.